Hey everyone, welcome back to the MMA Scene podcast. I'm your host as always, Idris Crawley, writer for WMMARankings.com and WMMA Scene blog on Facebook. Before we get started, I want to first let you all know if you enjoy the content you hear here, feel free to like the podcast here on Anchor or follow me on Twitter at Idris Crawley. That's IDRESCRAWLEY. And if you missed my most recent rankings update for the flyweight division, you can find that on YouTube by searching for McFarlane, Shevchenko, and the WMMA flyweight division. My computer's down at the moment, but I'm actually expecting a new computer here in moments if UPS ever gets to my door. But until I get that computer up and running, I will not be posting any updates on the Facebook page, which is, of course, facebook.com/MMA Scene blog. Now, the first thing I want to talk about today is the whole Cindy Dendois and the WMMA featherweight situation in regards to the upcoming Ultimate Fighter Season 28 show. Now, the UFC has been getting a lot of heat for not signing many of the established 145-pound women who tried out for the show, opting to instead go for youth. And, you know, basically that's all I can get from it, to be honest with you. Most of the competitors on this season are natural bantamweights moving up to the featherweight division or fighting up a weight class just to test themselves, I guess. And one of the fighters is actually 0-0 as a professional. No professional experience, no professional wins. Now, there were several women who tried out for the show who are currently ranked at featherweight, including Invicta fighters Edienne Gomes, Pam Sorensen. You also had Jazette Cotton try out for the show. And of course, Cindy Dendois. We'll get to the latter in a moment. But, you know, in my opinion, I think they really should have signed a couple of these women and kept the more established ones and actually pushed them right into the UFC. Pam Sorensen is one I think should have went right to the UFC. Of course, Edienne Gomes. But I feel Jazette Cotton should have been on the show only because she needs to prove that she can consistently make 145 pounds, and she hasn't proven that yet. Zephyr Dos Santos also is another one that should have made it onto the show. That would have been a good showcase of their talents. I'm sure, you know, I'm glad to see Larissa Pacheco back in action now as a featherweight, put on some muscle, took time to improve, and now she's back in action. But the controversy was more about Cindy Dendois. Now, Cindy Dendois is a fighter who, you know, at 12-3, she has a stellar record for a featherweight competitor, although she's competed at bantamweight, featherweight, and as high as lightweight. And she has some good wins on her record, which is why I'm surprised that many experts and fans alike are supporting the idea that she's not UFC caliber. She doesn't deserve a second chance in the UFC because the chance she got in the UFC was such a bad performance that she shouldn't ever be seen in the octagon again. Now, of course, she laid an egg in the fight with Davis, but it wasn't a Sean Gannon performance, you know what I mean? It wasn't great. It was bad. It was very, very bad, to be honest with you. But, you know, I say give her a chance. You know, she can still improve. She's a solid fighter, especially at featherweight. She's pretty good. Now, some of her wins include Marlus Kunin, who she defeated in her debut. She also has a win over Daria Ebrajanova. And she has a recent win over King Miura. Now, my problem is you have a lot of these unproven fighters, and you have a girl in Megan Anderson, who a lot of the fans were really pushing for the UFC to sign. She signed, and she just got thoroughly dominated by Holly Holm. But Cindy Dendois also put a beat down on Megan Anderson, so much so that she submitted her in the second round. So she has a finish over the former Invicta FC champion. She's a proven fighter. She has some really good names on her resume. She had that one bad performance from the UFC, and I think that she deserves another chance considering her history, considering her resume. And I'm not buying the excuse that she's too old or she can't do well in the UFC's featherweight division. She's currently ranked number one at lightweight. She's legitimately the only woman that you can make a claim to be ranked in the top 20 at all three of those divisions, talking bantamweight, featherweight, and lightweight. So I think there's more of a reason to sign someone like Cindy Dendois over anyone they can pick up outside of the UFC Invicta, not named Julia Budd, I would say. So a lot of the criticism for Cindy Dendois is on that one fight. And while the fight was bad, she deserves another chance. And if you say she doesn't deserve another chance, then are you going to drop Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou? Remember the fights with Anderson Silva and Thales Leites, or Anderson Silva, Damian Maya? There have been a lot of bad fights in the UFC from some high caliber fighters. And in a division where, you know, the featherweight category is basically non-existent under the UFC banner right now. And someone like Cindy Dendois, I think it's a good place for her in that weight class. You know, she can pick up some good wins. Some newer fighters can make a name off of her if you know, they're able to pick up a win over her. But I think at least you can give the girl another shot, considering the lack of talent that's out there right now. And how many featherweights, true featherweights, does the UFC have on their roster right now? Like, I can't really name five, to be honest with you. Holly Holm jumps in between weight classes. So does Jermaine Durandamy. She doesn't want to fight a featherweight anymore. I'm kind of going a little too long with this, but I just feel that Cindy Dendois should get another chance. So after all that, I want to hear what you guys think. Be sure to leave me a message. Give me some feedback on this, what you think of the whole situation. And, you know, you can shoot me a message on Twitter. Leave me a voicemail on here. I'll play it on the next episode. And yeah, man, this is one of those things that really heated me up, because I saw a lot of the hate that Cindy Dendois was getting on Twitter about fans just bashing her about her age, her stand-up, how bad of a fighter she is, even though she's beaten former champions or fighters that we've called legit in the past or whatever. And I think, you know, you have to give her her due. You have to give her her respect. She's earned it. And she's currently on a 4-fight win streak with 3 stoppages in 2 different weight classes. So, you know, she's definitely worthy of another shot inside of the octagon. Now, let's stay with the women's scene for a second and talk a little bit about this news that's coming out, these rumors that are coming out about Holly Holm possibly in another title fight, this time back at bantamweight for an interim title opposite Caitlin Vieira. If, and this is a pretty solid if still in my opinion, Cyborg and Nunes fights in September or later this year. Cyborg doesn't want to wait till December, although Nunes wants to, but a lot of politics and craziness with that situation in itself. Now, I know there are a lot of Holly Holm fans out there, but I have to be straight up with you. how much of a draw is Holly Holm really? And I say that because it's been a while now since she was the first woman to stop the train that was Ronda Rousey for years. And now she's not even the only woman to have done that. And since that point, I don't have a record in front of me. I'm going off the top of my head now. I think she's won something like two fights since that point. She lost the title to Tate. She lost the featherweight contest with Jermaine Durandamy, even though that's debatable. She picked up a win over Beche Cohea. Lost to Cyborg. And then recently beat Megan Anderson. Now, there may be a fight or two in there that I'm missing, but right off the top of my head, I think she's only won two fights since that point and also dropped two. So she's 500 since the fight with Ronda Rousey. Is she really a draw? She's not the fighter everyone was saying she was now. She's not this dominant champion. She's not this imposing force inside of the octagon. She struggles inside of the octagon. And I still feel that the UFC is pushing her based on this perceived popularity that I don't really know is there. On top of that, and if you've been following me for a while, you know I'm not big on this whole popularity thing. Push people ahead because they're popular. Rank people higher because they're popular. I mean, I'm the guy that gets a lot of heat for not ranking Valentina Shevchenko higher at flyweight, even though she's only beaten a woman who is sub-top 20. But again, does she really deserve a title fight with a win over Beche Cohea at this point? She's dropped so many fights since the Ronda Rousey fight. If I were the matchmaker, and I mean, there's reasons why I'm not, of course. I'm not the smartest tool in the shit. But if there was going to be an interim title fight, wouldn't it be Caitlin Vieira against someone like Tonya Evinger, former Invicta FC champion who has been a force at bantamweight and who has only recently lost to Cyborg? And who doesn't lose to Christian Cyborg Santos or Justino these days? So I'm not a big fan of Holly Holm getting another title shot. I feel like she needs to earn it, you know? After the Megan Anderson win, you could put her in the title fight with Cyborg only because there's no one else there. But when you're talking bantamweight, there are other people there. I would rather see Sarah Kaufman as the Invicta FC bantamweight champion cross back over to the UFC, which she never had been, should have been dropped from the UFC, if you ask me. I would rather see Sarah Kaufman come back over to the UFC and challenge Amanda Nunes then watch Holly Holm get another title shot that she didn't earn. I know that's not a popular opinion. I know there's a lot of Holly Holm fans out there that will not agree with me. But I seriously ask you this question, and this is without doing any research with the pay-per-view by numbers and all of that. Is she really the draw that everyone thinks she is? Let me know. Now, the last subject I wanted to discuss a little bit on this show, and this is the return after, I guess, over a year since I did the last show, and I'm going to do it more consistently going forward show, I promise you guys. But the last subject I want to talk about is Daniel Cormier and the whole pound-for-pound discussion. Now, everyone's quick to say that Daniel Cormier is not the number one pound-for-pound fighter of all time or even currently. And speaking more to the discussion currently, the fighters that are typically discussed in this conversation are GSP, of course, John Jones, Anderson Silva, Jose Aldo, Max Holloway, Daniel Cormier, Demetrius Mighty Johnson. But when we have this discussion, we have to narrow it down to people who really have done enough to deserve this placing. Cormier Jones, Mighty Mouse, Silva, and GSP. Okay. Now, and, you know, one of the people who promote this kind of idea is SiriusXM and MMAFighting.com's Luke Thomas, that if you hold the steroid allegations, the positive drug tests and everything against John Jones, you got to do it for everybody. And he presents the idea that there are more people, you know, involved in performance enhancing drugs than we realize. And I agree with that. I agree with that, but not everybody's involved in it. And even not everyone that you suspect is doing it. So we can't say on one hand that we're, you know, about fairness, and we're going to, you can't say that you can't punish John Jones, because if you do that, you have to punish everybody else in the industry, more specifically the ones that we suspect. You can't do that. You can only punish those that you know have tested positive and have been proven to be on something, okay? John Jones has one win over Daniel Cormier, not two, because the stoppage victory in their last fight was overturned because of the positive test. So I think you have to take out of the discussion fighters who have been caught cheating, performance enhancing drugs anyway. And fighters that have to be taken out of this discussion, unfortunately, are John Jones and Anderson Silva. Now that leaves us with Mighty Mouse Johnson, GSP, and Daniel Cormier. Mighty Mouse Johnson is my favorite mixed martial artist of all time. But unfortunately for him, he is dominant over one of the weakest divisions on the men's side. He was a top five fighter at bantamweight before dropping down to flyweight. So he has been successful in two different weight classes and has not tasted defeat since he started training and fighting full time. I believe that was back in 2011, right after the Cruz fight. So I don't think there's enough for us to say he is the top fighter of all time. So that leaves GSP and Daniel Cormier. Now, GSP was dominant over what many consider to be the deepest division in the sport for years now. Many years. And that's the welterweight division. He's beaten so many legends, so many fighters on the pound-for-pound list. And he then went up to middleweight and won another title, beating up on Michael Bisping, who many didn't even consider to be the top middleweight at that time, but he had the number one ranking because he was the champion. Now, if we look at Daniel Cormier, his lone defeat on his record, the lone defeat officially on his record, is to John Jones. Okay, he's beaten Gustafson, he's beaten Johnson, he's beaten everybody that the UFC has thrown in front of him in the light heavyweight division outside of John Jones. But the difference between Daniel Cormier and GSP is that Daniel Cormier was not only successful in two different divisions, he won titles in two different divisions, and he did it in style. I mean, and by in style, I mean he, you know, for the most part, dominated everybody he's faced. And when he won the heavyweight title, he won the heavyweight title by knocking out a guy in the first round who many consider to be, is in the discussion for the best heavyweight of all time. Absolutely the best heavyweight in UFC history. Broke the record for title defenses and is in his prime. Not a Michael Bisping situation. In his prime. And the only reason he even dropped down to the light heavyweight division was because he didn't want to, you know, steal a shine from Cain Velasquez. This guy has wins over Barnett, Mir. He has a win over Bigfoot. Now Stipe Miocic. I don't know what more Daniel Cormier has to do for people to give him the respect he deserves. If you're going to hold the fight with John Jones against Daniel Cormier to say that he's not the top pound-for-pound fighter, then are you going to hold the losses to Dennis Holman by Matt Hughes? Are you going to hold the loss to Matt Serra by GSP? Are you going to hold these things against these fighters? I really don't think it's a fair situation to criticize Daniel Cormier or to hold him back from his rightful spot atop the pound-for-pound list by saying, oh, you lost to John Jones twice. Or you lost to John Jones once. Fighters have losses. John Jones was not the professional that Daniel Cormier is. And yeah, I know Daniel Cormier, you know, he's the towel grabber and all. But that has nothing to do with the pound-for-pound discussion. That's more a discussion about light heavyweight, a specific category. But the overall discussion of pound-for-pound greats, I have a problem seeing it any other way than Daniel Cormier being atop that list for his accomplishments. You can't take it away from him. He was ranked, what, 3 in the world at heavyweight when he dropped down to light heavyweight, worked his way up that ladder, fought for the title, then won the title, then went back up to heavyweight and knocked out one of the greatest heavyweights of all time in his prime in the first round. Daniel Cormier is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world right now. So again, if you guys like this show, be sure to like it on here. Send me feedback on here. I'll play some of your messages on the show. Follow me on Twitter at Drees Crawley. Follow me on Facebook at MMA Scene Blog. I think I said WMMA Scene Blog earlier, but it's MMASCENE Blog. And there you'll find more of the articles I do. You'll find the rankings. I do top 20s, top 30s. If you want me to do top 50s, let me know. I try to give you all the information you want. And I believe that those rankings are indeed the most accurate rankings you'll find in the sport, especially on the women's side of things. Be sure to go over to WMMARankings.com and check out some of my articles. Invicta FC 30 is tomorrow night. Headlining bout is an atomweight title fight between Jamie Free and Mena Grusander. Check out my interview with Grusander I did a few months back after her Invicta FC debut, International Mixed Martial Arts Federation gold medalist at strawweight, now at atomweight, currently 6-1. This is a great fight, and we have to see if Fry's going to bounce back from that loss to Ham at Road FC. I don't know, man. This is a tough fight for her to take. A stacked card in Invicta tomorrow night, so be sure to check that out. And I'll be back next week for another episode, guys and gals. Hope you enjoyed it. Take care.